Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I heard a little amen over here, barely. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the joy of the Lord is in my soul. When the joy is in your soul, you just can't help it but to praise the Lord and worship his holy and precious name. Hallelujah. Before I start, I want to give my condolences to my daughter's husband's family. Alex, his grandfather passed away yesterday. We got late news so that he passed away. So we want to send condolences to them. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, how many here have friends? One, two, friend, three. Oh, three, four. Okay, there's more than one that you have a friend. You know, a friend that something happens and you got to call them up. Oh, Kiss, what happened today? You kind of continuously call them up and find out, okay, what's going on? This is what's going on with me. And your friend, and you call them, and you're because you trust them, right? So we all have some kind of friends, you know, and some probably figure, well, I've got some friends, and I've got some good friends, and I got my best friend. The other day I saw, it was BFF. I'm going, BFF, maybe they're trying to curse, and they don't want to say the whole word or something, you know. But I learned it was best friends forever. I said, oh, you know, I guess because of the laziness nowadays, you know. I heard another one say vacay. I said, what the heck? Oh, they're going on vacation, you know, like cut the words in half and stuff. So BFF, best friends forever. You know, we got a best friend forever. You know, the praise team sang it at the very beginning. I am a friend of God because he calls me friend. And it's not just something that's just kind of like on the surface. When he calls us friend, is because he means we are a friend. So this morning, I want to ask you to ask yourselves, you know, as I say this message and finish the message, ask yourself, am I a friend of God? And more yet, is he a friend of mine? Because there are certain things that take place to find out if he's really your friend or he's not. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and turn to our Bibles, if you got them, to John 15. The Gospel according to John, 15th chapter. And verse 10. I'll be reading verse 10 through 15. And it says the following. Let me get my, have another birthday coming up. If you keep my commandments, again, and this is Jesus saying this. This is not Pastor Paul or Pastor Edwin or anybody else here. This is Jesus saying, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Uh-oh, see, there's something coming up. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I call you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Let's go ahead and leave it there. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask you, Lord, to touch each and every one of us and to speak to our hearts, Lord, and that you may guide us in all righteousness and all truth. The glory is yours, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, my biblical dictionary defines friends as an affectionate relationship between two people that sometimes surpasses even those of family members. There are friends that we may have that we might confide more in them than any of our family members. So it's an that affection that you have, something special, something beyond what we're talking about as a friend, established by two people. Now, Proverbs 18:24 talks about friends that may be even closer than brothers. Friends that are even closer than brothers because of so many different things. So we're going to take a look real quick at a couple of things, three things actually. You know, friends communicate with each other, do they not? Friends listen to each other. And friends are loyal to each other. Praise the Lord. So here we have, when we say we have friends, usually there's a shared value amongst friends. In other words, you're not friends with someone that is completely out there away from what values you have. You know, there's an old saying that says, tell me with who you walk, and I will tell you who you are. Because the tendency is always to get like people that share your values, and those are the people that you usually hang around with and people that become your friends because there's a shared value. It's no different in the scriptures. Listen to what Matthew 7:20 talks about. Matthew says that we recognize those that follow God by what? By their fruits. In other words, by their actions. What are they doing? Do their actions equal the things that they are saying? Here's another one. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And what he's saying is the things that is pleasing to God, the things that God is expecting for us to share with Him. The fruits of the Spirit. And it goes on to tell you about the fruits of the Spirit and all this other stuff. But then again, it also has the fruits of the flesh or of this world, which is not of the Spirit. So basically, if you have the fruits of the Spirit, you're sharing in the same values as God. If you're doing the fruits of the flesh is of this world. And listen to what he says about this world. He says, James 4:4, a friend of the world is an enemy of God. There's certain things, certain characteristics that takes place when he considers us a friend. But if you're a friend of the world, it's an enemy of God. So again, remember, as I'm going and saying this message, ask yourself, am I a friend of God? Is God a friend of mine? Because there are certain things that we're looking at here. So here's when we talk about communication, we communicate with God in certain ways. Now, there's examples of the Bible on how God communicated and how people communicated with God. When we look at David communicated with God. He was praying, right? He prayed. When we look at the people that were successful in their spiritual life in the scriptures, we see that they were people of prayer. And it's not like, oh, dear Jesus, you know. No, they were talking to God. They were asking him questions. They had doubts and they asked about it. They were talking to God. Just the same way when we communicate, we talk to somebody, we call them up. We're talking to God. These were people that continuously talked to God. When we looked at Daniel, the same thing. He's praying and he's talking. When we see Solomon, when he's finished with the temple, he talks to God and he says, God, thank you for what you promised my father. Here it is, the temple, and so forth and so forth. They continuously communicated with God. So are we communicating with God because he's our friend? He's our BFF. Praise the Lord. So as we see that, then we see what happens with Abraham. Abraham came, he believed, he listened. He listened to God. He believed God. And he says that he was a friend of God. He was known as a friend of God. He believed what God was saying. He listened to what God was saying. So as he was listening, and he did, and he took action, and his actions, what happened with his actions? His action matched what he believed and what he was saying. Because it is not enough to say that we believe. What are we saying when we say we believe? Well, the Bible says that if you believe in God, that's good for you because the demons believe and tremble. So it is not only just to believe, but do you really believe? Are you getting what I'm saying? You got to believe truly in your heart without any question, believing in God, because the demons believe and tremble. Now, when you come to the Lord, you know, we were hearing earlier, right? So it's when we were weak, when we were lost. But guess what? If you've come to Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are no longer weak. For the Bible says that we are strong because we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. We are no longer weak. We are no longer lost. For I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I can see. There are certain things that are said to the people that don't know the Lord yet. And there are certain things that are said to the people that already have come to the Lord. So we don't stop learning. We don't stop maturing. We continue on seeking him in spirit and in truth. Because the Bible says that he who perseveres to the end shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Now, we have an example here on if you remember the story of Job. Because sometimes we come to the Lord, we accept the Lord as our Savior, the Lord forgives us, but yet Satan continuously puts things in our mind. Oh, this is what you've done. Oh, this is what, you know, this or that, whatever the case may be. And he continuously puts that in our minds. Well, guess what? The scripture says that when you come to Jesus Christ and you accept him, I mean truly accept him in your heart as your Lord and Savior, he forgives you. All the old things have passed away. He puts them in the most deepest part of the ocean, never to bring them back up. So why should we bring them back into our mind and let the enemy come and mess with us? It's gone forever. So when the enemy comes and tries to remind you things, you're like, I don't remember that. What are you talking about? Because God doesn't remember them. He says he puts them in the most deepest part of the ocean, never to bring them back up. All things have passed away. You are new. When you are born again, what happens when you got a newborn? They're just fresh. You start out. There's nothing before that. So when you're born again, it's like, okay, back to zero again. Now, along the ways, there are situations that we may encounter that we may stumble. But when you see David was a man according to the heart of God, but yet when he stumbled, what did he do? He came and he asked for forgiveness. He repented, and God used him mightily so. It happens. You see, when we seek God in spirit and in truth, he has our back. When we think of Saul, and later on he became Paul, but when Saul, now persecuting the church, going all over the place, the more he persecuted them, the more they spread out, the more churches were established. And now here comes Saul, wants to go after him, and he's on his way to Damascus, and boom, he hits a brick wall. And all of a sudden, he has this encounter with Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, when he asks him, like, who are you? What's going on? He says, I am Jesus who you're persecuting. Now, did Paul say, or at that time Saul say, I'm going to persecute Jesus? No. In fact, he thought he was doing pretty good. He was protecting God's kingdom, according to what he thought. So he didn't say he was going to persecute Jesus. He was going to persecute the church, the Christians, the ones that were walking according to Christ. That's who he went to persecute. But Jesus says, you're persecuting me. So basically, when people come against you, they're not really coming against you. They're coming against Jesus. You know, Jesus, if you continue reading where I started off over here in John, it continues on, and it says about that that they hate you in this world because you are not of this world. So because you're not of this world, they hate you. But they hated him first. They hated Jesus first. So you're going to have persecution. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have certain circumstances or situations that come along in your life. But Jesus took all those things on him so that we didn't have to. And when I say so that we didn't have to, is that when things come to our life, when situations or circumstances bring us down, we have to think and say, Jesus took all that. The joy of the Lord is in my soul. Me and my house will serve the Lord no matter what may come. When that joy is in your household, when that joy is in your heart, come what may come. You can. Your wife will leave you. Your husband will leave you. Your dog will bite you. You'll lose your car. Everything is stolen from you. You're out on the streets with nothing around, and you can still say, me and my house will serve the Lord. He went through all those things already, much more than what we could have gone through. So when we're going through these situations, have no reason to think that you're alone.